Up next, The Frank Factor on In Your Face Radio.
The Frank Factor contains language that may not be suitable for f***ing c***s.
From studio somewhere, straight to your brain, it's The Frank Factor.
Alrighty then. Hello, hominids. Welcome to another edition of The Frank Factor, where a guy named Frank speaks frankly about shit. Hope you're doing well. I'm doing better. I wanted to thank everyone for your condolences. A good friend of mine died last week. We were childhood friends. He was a kind of a mentor to me as far as a guitar player. He was in one of the best bands in the area at the time. We're talking about 1971 here, so some of you probably weren't even born yet. But anyway, it means a lot. It's nice to know that you're out there, and I really appreciate that. Okay. I don't know if many of you were following along. On the Frank Factor forum, I had a lively, I don't know if I would even call it a debate. Seems like we would have had to have been able to connect a little better for it to be a debate. A little exchange, a lively exchange between myself and Bob Kincaid. I like Bob. Bob's a good man. Bob heads up the Horn, the Head On Radio Network, which is very good, and he has a good show, and I encourage you to check him out. It's just that thing. It's that thing that always happens with me and other. I think it's safe to say Bob is probably a Democrat. Can't seem to connect on this business about not accepting lesser evil as a foregone conclusion, or as a necessary evil, or as the only sane and pragmatic thing for a person to do. I as you probably know, and I apologize if I keep beating this, but I can't get through to people, and I have a feeling it could be something about the way I communicate my point. Or, it might be that it's really just a really stupid idea, and I can't get my head around it, that it is a really stupid idea. But I wanted to share this with you again and try to make it clear. And then, people can do with it what they will. As long as I can feel like somebody understands what I'm talking about. And in the political conversations we have today, and it's been like this for a while now, there isn't much listening. There's a lot of noise that goes on in our own heads, and I can be guilty of this, I will admit it, but I try to make an effort to get past that with others when I debate politics with them. Doesn't always work. Nothing's perfect. I get it. I understand that. But people, remember back that before this last presidential election, you couldn't say anything against Barack Obama because then you would be for Ron Paul. It was like there was no possible way. And I think it was like that in the 2008, the same kind of thing. You can't possibly disagree with a corporatic Democrat and not be a libertarian. There's like no fucking room in the left, the room that we call the left. It's a tiny little room, and you got to get in there and you got to vote for that person that's going to be the winner. not the one that deserves the vote, not the one that stands for the things that you believe in, but the one that will win. Why will they win? Because everybody does the same thing. Everybody thinks the same way. They have the same debilitating fear. They are hostages held in place by a system that we all know is full of shit. But if someone dare come along and suggest that perhaps if all of these talking heads with their own radio shows and their own radio broadcast networks and their own cable news, television shows, and everybody that claims to be sympathetic to progressive causes, if they would stop being so afraid and so locked like a deer in the headlights, just standing there waiting for the truck to hit them, and break that spell, it would not be the answer to all of our problems. But that's an unfair argument as well. That's the next problem. That's the next thing you have to overcome. First of all, when I dare suggest that people vote for the better candidate, because better candidates can actually make it into the process, it's not easy, and they're probably not the best candidates, but they're better. If I suggest that you do that, then I, you know, am either trying, I'm a mole who's trying to destroy the left, as if voting for these corporate shitheads wasn't destructive enough. That someone who comes along and has the nerve to suggest that if we started a massive movement to educate people, to tell them, to make it, and like I said, I'm going to read you this thing that I wrote here because it kind of surmises everything I'm trying to get at here. It's not the fucking silver bullet. That's what I was getting at too. Look, either you're a libertarian or you got to have all the answers. Every single fucking time you come up with, you dare to say, maybe we shouldn't keep electing Clintons and Bushes. Maybe the Democratic Party is rife with corruption. Maybe these people are so corrupt, the ones that are we are allowed to vote for, that we shouldn't play into this mechanism anymore. Then you have to be a libertarian. You have to be a mole. Or, apparently, I am calling on people to not vote, which is not what I'm doing. I will say this about that, and here we go again. You can't do nuance. You're right, right? You can't, you're not going to hear what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you are of the mind that you will not take part in a corrupt system, that you will not legitimize it by taking part in it, I understand that. And I'm not calling for people to reject the option of voting. That is your choice. Fuck, it's your choice if you want to elect Hillary goddamn Clinton. I think it's the worst possible choice, but that's my opinion. What I'm trying to get people to understand is that the kind of change we need in this country, it seems to me it's going to require extra special fucking effort. And I don't know what people are going to do. Like, I get this feeling that people want to sit back and wait for the apocalypse until they can take their guns out, and then we're going to storm. You know, you've heard it all. I've said this before. Personally, I'm not of that fucking mindset. I think that's a recipe for disaster. But hey, I also reserve the place in my mind to realize that maybe that's just what we need. You know, I don't know how the American public works. The internet has done more to damage my comprehension of what kind of people I live with here than to actually improve it. As like I said on my post last night, I sometimes feel like this is an Idiocracy. If you've ever seen the movie, honest to God, I think stupid is the new black, you know. Stupid is the new smart. And you know, it's like we all have this potential. You know, it's like we have potential. We all do. You know, underachievers. We're all a bunch of underachievers here. We don't try. We don't learn. We don't break out of these molds and this spell, this fucking zone that we're in. And Facebook even causes it to happen. All of this stuff becomes so repetitious and so empty-headed and such a knee-jerk reaction. The Democratic Party, the left, is a professional group of complaining, whining, bitching, fucking winners that lose. Our guy won. We had a full house almost. We had the majority, and we fucking suck because it points, in my estimation, it points to the fact that there are forces here at work that undermine the will of the people, which I believe, while maybe not by the largest margin, is actually the majority in America. But the system is such that it is controllable because of the narrow confines that we are allowed to play in. And that's why I'm asking for people to stop playing within, stop coloring in the lines, stop obeying the rules that they set out for you. And again, this is not the be all. This is not the end all. It's just one simple thing that all of us could do. If all of the talking heads on the left, if they started to stop making excuses for these shitty fucking Democratic candidates, these insider shills, these corporate hacks, these two-faced lying fuckers, these perpetual victims, professional victims, and said, let's watch what happens if we turn this fucker upside down. It might not work the first time, but this is another thing I cannot communicate this to people. If we begin to make a paradigmatic shift, it's a big deal, and it might take commitment. It might not work the first time. You might have to stay committed to the effort. But, you know, I agree. I could possibly be out of my fucking mind because people just don't work that way. And if you believe that, then that's a kind of resolved kind of leftist pragmatism that I am not prepared to admit defeat to at this point. I'm saying, can you imagine? Now, look, if Bernie Sanders runs, what I'm saying may happen anyway. Maybe people will actually vote for him. But here's another thing. When it gets closer to election time, don't be surprised if these fucking Democrats turn on Bernie Sanders. Oh, well, he's not going to win. He can't win. He can't win. Yeah, he can't win, you stupid cotton. God damn it, because you won't vote for him. I went through this shit the last time. Oh, they can't win. You know why they can't win? Because you're dumbass and all the rest of you fucking sheep, you fucking beat down, prone, fucking ball licking sheep won't break out of your spell. And it doesn't take that much commitment. It's only a vote. It's something you can do without getting locked up in jail, getting your head bashed in, getting your face bathed in mace, you know, but God damn it, you can't fucking go there. You haven't got the balls to even make that small commitment. And that's a sad commentary, in my opinion. Hey, you're listening to The Frank Factor on InYourFaceRadio.net. Please stay with me, or not. But if you want more, stay with me. We'll be right back after these brief messages.
In Your Face Radio, beating conservative ideology to a bloody pulp. Political talk. Political talk.
Look at Rick Santorum walking around going, these are my roots. Damn it. We are the salt of the earth. We are the Americans they're talking about. Fuck that shit. You're full of crap.
Without all the bullshit. InYourFaceRadio.net. The Scream Cafe with Grobeck. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on In Your Face Radio.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Wake up, goddammit!
This is Sensei Gregory C. Lewis from AllPowerToThePositive.info, and you're listening to The Frank Factor.
Alrighty, we're back. Okay, let me read you my my little article that I have on thefrankfactor.com. Excuse me. Beginning here. There is no single act that will likely result in significant change in a system as complicated and corrupt as we have now. That said, I would like to clarify why I advocate for a fix-it approach rather than a fuck-it approach that includes a massive voter revolt. My advocacy for the cessation of electing corporate representatives from two parties that are controlled and financed by the same destructive elements is part of a larger strategy that requires dedication, activity, and engagement on many levels. Successfully enlisting millions of others to let go of this self-destructive behavior would require a shift in their political mindset, a shift that could lead to a more rooted, paradigmatic shift for the long term. Let me explain that. What I mean is, what I'm trying to do right now is to convince you to do this thing. To do that, you have to be convinced. And in order to convince you, I have to educate you or share this information with you. If that happens in a ripple effect, the process alone of creating people that are willing to stop this sheepish behavior has changed them. They now understand and can comprehend a different way of dealing with this. Okay? I mean, that's what I'm trying to get at here. Back to the article. Splitting the much-needed and oft-proffered revolution into two general strategies, we might say, one we often hear about is some kind of a violent occupation, and one is through nonviolent occupation. Violent occupations can work, but in America, they challenge a security apparatus that is second to none and a government that has proven it has no regard for law, either domestic or international. What would prevent that same belligerent cabal from undermining any and all attempts at nonviolent occupation? Well, obviously not much. But a number of dispersed accomplishments politically could create opportunities to challenge and depose those same complicit rulers and modify or overturn fascist laws while disrupting currently exploited paths of corruption. You know what I'm saying? It's a wedge. It breaks in. It gets a wedge in there. You can start to pry the bitch apart. Continuing, it may be argued that both paths create a populace that is prepared, educated, and willing to assume the real-world, day-to-day responsibilities of this revolution. But I contend that the chances of survival of such a movement would be improved if the populace had engaged and utilized the very mechanisms and procedures they will be charged with overseeing, and the legitimacy of the movement would be strengthened and better expressed due to the nature of the tactics used. A violent movement, while sometimes a last resort, may create more heat than light and end us up in a state worse than before. The immediate response to aggressive street-level activity, will be its easy classification as terrorist activity by the plutocracy. And as such, subject to depraved legal tactics and that we've seen the United States use freely already. Open murder, torture, disappearance, denial of trial and representation, character assassination, execution, etc. Of course, all these things will probably come into play to some extent anyway, but you don't give them that kind of green light. Attacking the plutocracy from many angles could have an additive effect and open new pathways as each goal is accomplished, building strength along the way. But as we know, the financial power that we will be up against is also capable tactician. The machine must be stopped. We must think like the opposition. They would not stop at controlling one party, would you? When the choices are limited, as they have been through the systematic undermining, we see. They use this illusion of choice as a method to keep the plutocratic mission on track and to feign legitimacy. It's a scam. It's a fraud. The choices proffered in reality are evil or more evil. Overt corporate aggression and covert corporate aggression. A significant shift in the voting pattern shadow a significant change in the political commitment of those convinced to stop being complacent, fear-driven victims. If you've ever engaged a duopolist, you know how dogmatic their loyalty to this con is. If millions of us create a ripple effect of shifts in voting philosophy, we will most likely have done so based on presenting information that compels and motivates. This fortifies the populace against the onslaught of corporate propaganda that surely will come, even as we see it's being used right now. Part of any successful strategy would have to include a perpetual counteraction, pushing back constantly to the plutocracy. While we know that the vote tallying mechanisms in America are flawed, the campaign process a fraud, a shift in a large number of voters would be hard to conceal. This would also force into the public discourse the reasons behind this movement. Propaganda and blowback would be rabid all along the way and in perpetuity, but there are no paths that offer little or no resistance. Nothing is easy. This activity would disrupt and destabilize a system that is currently gamed, and the common and trusted exploited mechanisms that the corporate elite use to keep it so. No longer would the Democratic candidate supply a secure fallback fascist position. The aristocrats will have to modify their war plan. This strategy might be considered an act of rebellion that is not immediately as costly in time or in personal safety, or at least less so than civil collapse. It's something that all voters are capable of if only they're convinced enough through reason and argument. Millions could actively take part by simply voting, but voting for candidates that deserve the vote, or at the very least are not plutocratic puppets. Again, this is not a silver bullet. And using that as an excuse to maintain the status quo and defeat the plan is fallacious. A win is not even entirely necessary nor expected, as this would only be a first step. But even without a win, the current machine could be destabilized. The critical element is that the mindset of the American voter is no longer held hostage by a false choice, fear-mongering, and corporate propaganda. So there's a little bit more, but you get the idea. I mean, maybe I don't know how to say it right. Maybe it's just a stupid idea, but there it is. I'm just floating something out here. And again, I said, this is not the only thing. There will have to be massive civil acts of disobedience. There needs to be referendums. We do have to, of course, work to put better candidates in at the local level, in the House, in the Senate, all of that, you know, again, but I can't help but think that if the media, the voices, the mouthpieces of the left were to come to some kind of a consensus on this, we could build such a destabilizing movement that it would scare these fuckers. And here's the horrible tragic truth. It might get a Republican elected. But again, if you're that fucking cowardly, you don't even need to bother to vote, because the de facto vote is just whoever the fuck is the Democrat? What's the point? And what justice do you do to all the bloodshed and all the work and all the effort that's been put into getting the vote when you use it in that fashion? Okay, that's enough of that. So, it's that music to, it's, music to my ears because, well, it's music. It's time for Joy's Five Things. I want to thank Joy for providing us with these five things every week. The lovely Joy. You can check out Joy at facebook.com/Joy's Noise with no Z's. All right, let's get started. Number one. It's amusing to watch people debate whether or not our government is exhibiting the classic signs of fascism, while our government goes about its fascist to-do list unmolested. Number two. Jesus said, "Nah, get thee behind me, Satan." Can you imagine Jesus if he was from the Bronx? "Hey, yeah, yeah, get thee behind me there, Satan. Hey." Somehow it just doesn't, work the same. "Get thee behind me, Satan." But actually, I would prefer for Dick Cheney to be in front of me at all times, where I can keep my eye on him, because he's armed with a weapon he doesn't know how to use. that guy is so fucking rotten. He's like the closest thing to a zombie that I think exists in reality, honestly. Number three. We Americans love to reenact wars. Can't get enough of that Civil War. That's a favorite. But it seems like we also love reenacting Iraq's shock and awe. But we like to mix it up a little bit, you know. Why should Iraq be the only place that gets to have all that fun? Let's try the schools. How about a mall? How about a restaurant? And I think the movie theater, that's a favorite, right? Yeah. God, I whenever I think about going to a movie, I always consider that there could be some kind of nut job there. I know, you know, statistically speaking, chances aren't that good, but still. And, you know, what if you don't turn your phone off accidentally or some shit? I mean, them's killing sounds. That's killing behavior there. Number four. Joy says, "I would never ride in a car with Barack Obama because his car has no rear view mirror." That's America's fucking problem too, you know? What happened? What happened? Nah, I don't remember that. What did the Democrats do when Bush was in office? I don't remember. Oh, I don't remember. Oh, wasn't Obama supposed to be the lame duck kick-ass progressive now? He's gonna kick ass now because he's got nothing to lose. You remember that? That shit didn't happen, did it? I'm not surprised. Number five. As we enter this sixth great extinction event, Joy's hoping to catch at least part of it on pay-per-view. And the bonus, I hope there is no afterlife because I can't go through all of this shit again with these fucking people. Thank you, Joy. Thank you for your five things. And thank you all for sharing some time with me. I hope you will do it again. You can get the Frank Factor at thefrankfactor.com on iTunes. And come and check out the Frank Factor on Facebook when you get a chance. It's been my pleasure. Until next time, slower traffic. Keep right.
In Your Face Radio. Radio without eating disorders.
Somebody of a felony without being convicted in the court.
I know, it is not outrageous, and I think it's outrageous for people to act as if you can only speak the way our criminal justice system works.
Drug use.
First smoked marijuana somewhere in California.
Or lies.